Hey, this is Len Kabasinski, and you're listening to the Cinema Psycho Show.
Oh, goody, goody, here it comes.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
Oh, my God, don't stop now!
With your hosts, Ryan, John, and Elaine.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show, the madhouse for film freaks and film fans of all types. I'm your host, Brian Connington, joining my fellow co-hosts and filmmakers, John and Lane Woolscroft.
I can't believe that thing happened with that person, and it was nuts.
Psychos assemble.
That's right. So if you listen to episode 137, part one, our spoiler-free endgame, we warned you not to listen to this episode. So if you said, fuck those guys, I'm going to jump in my spoilers without watching the movie, you've been warned.
Spoilers aplenty.
We're going to be spoiling the shit out of Avengers Endgame. The reason why we've been so like spoiler filled is mainly because it's a joke. Like, I've seen so many people all butthurt about spoilers about this movie, and I just find it hilarious. Like, I get it to a point, but at some point, you got to say, just watch the movie.
Well, we tried to give you enough time to watch it, you know,
yes.
And I know that sometimes, like, people's schedules, like, you can't get to it right away, especially, like, to go see it in the theater.
We couldn't,
you
know, see it until a week later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was the thing for us. Like, there was no way in hell that I was going to do, like, a day of, you know, it arriving, seeing it. Like,
well, those tickets were sold out months ago.
Yeah, there was no doing that.
So yeah, just, I hope you've seen the movie. If not, buckle up.
There was a lot of explosions.
There was a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack.
Oh, that's a spoiler though, John.
So,
Red dreaminess.
That's not a spoiler. I expected that.
Do we want to talk a little bit about the business of this movie? Because this movie is done crazy, stupid.
Oh,
like,
the money?
Historical levels.
Basically what some small countries have as their gross product.
Yes.
Yeah, it's already the billion mark.
It is well past the billion
mark. It did that like its first weekend, yes. Basically. Now that's worldwide. But
I haven't checked it this morning, but is it 1.5 billion?
It's so much money. I'll
worldwide.
Look it up. I'll look it up while we chat.
But I know that leading up to this, I was reading articles that had mentioned how a lot of the, like, you know, financial observers in Hollywood were doubtful that this movie would cross what they call the magic threshold of 300 million domestically in the first weekend. Like, a lot of people were like, there's no way it's going to get 300 million.
I mean, 300 million in its opening weekend is astonishing. And, like, I don't understand why they, like, if it's that or bust. And they did make
it. Well, it's not just that. like yeah. All I'm saying is, like, the actual people who kind of take bets on those films did not think that this movie would get that to that point. They were like, there's no way it's going to reach 300 million. Because to do that would require basically the mass majority of people not seeing anything else. Like, literally, you're not seeing anything else. You're only seeing Avengers Endgame. And I think they thought, well, that's, you know, kind of rarely that's a rare thing to do.
Well,
you know,
the math actually doesn't add up, but if you know how movie theaters operate, it does, because of the runtime, the amount of theaters that it was in didn't add up to like being profitable. But I think a lot of movies, like, okay, only two people want to get advance tickets to us, so we're canceling that showing, and we're putting Avengers Endgame in that place,
right?
Oh man,
so there's like 10 to 15 extra screenings. They're at every movie theater because they're just replacing movies that didn't, you know, that stop motion Bigfoot movie, whatever.
Stop motion Bigfoot movie.
That nobody gives a shit about is getting replaced. I can't even remember what it's called.
You know what?
Are you guys ready for some numbers?
Yeah, give me some numbers, Lane.
So this is from Variety.com. It looks like, now this is based on this second weekend.
Okay.
So Avengers Endgame is heading for a stellar second weekend with an estimated 145 million domestically.
Peasant money.
Topping the U.S. box office by an intense margin. Its second frame haul will tack on to its current 1.915 billion worldwide total, bringing it to over 2 billion. Its
Jesus.
Current
total.
Past
Avatar.
Can I say words?
No.
Okay. Fuck you. Its current total makes it the number 5 highest grossing global movie of all time as of Friday, behind Infinity War with 2.048 billion. Jesus. Depending on Endgame's exact weekend accumulation, it could ascend to number 3 of all time, passing Force Awakens, or possibly number 2, beating out Titanic. That would leave Avatar's massive 2.788 billion as the last hurdle before Endgame becomes the highest grossing film of all time. So that's all it has to do to beat Avatar is 2.788 billion.
All it took was 22 movies over 11 years.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake, right? Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, personally, I didn't see the when people said I can't believe it's going to get to the 300 million domestically in its first 3 days. I was like, how can you not? How can you not see that? As you said, yeah, it's a culmination of 22 fucking movies. So, you know, and this movie honestly was not built for the nuanced person who's coming out, who's never seen this movie. Like, this was built literally for fan service. The whole movie was built for that.
Well, this whole franchise is like a television show.
Yes.
Like, you don't jump into Breaking Bad season 5 and then, like, I don't understand what's going on. Of course you don't.
Unless your husband's watching the 5th season and it's so good you can't stop yourself. And even though you have no idea what's going on, you have to keep watching it anyway. not based on a real example or anything.
No, not at all. but like... I know that we've talked about Marvel movies in the past, and we've said that one of the biggest problems of them is that they're kind of checklists. You know, like, especially Age of Ultron was a giant checklist of...
Age of Ultron was so
we bad. Have to do X, Y, and Z to get to the next batch of movies.
Well, it's also proof that Joss Whedon was a hack fraud.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Big, fat, wife-hating hack fraud.
So sad.
Yeah. God, but it this one is not a movie that can stand by itself.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about that real quick. Now, what movies would you guys suggest that people really make sure they've seen in preparation for Endgame? And don't just, like, say all of them, you know, but there's specific ones.
No, I don't think you need to see all of them. So I would suggest seeing, at least for the most part, I would say you'd have to watch Age of Ultron for this, because there are a lot of callbacks in this film to that movie.
And obviously the Avengers.
The
I
Avengers,
would say, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Age of Ultron. I would even make mention, you know, as much as I hate it, Thor the Dark World.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because they do call back to that, which I'm like, you just made me have to watch Thor the Dark World again. Because I hated that movie.
And then, what do you think? Guardians 1?
Well, I would say, yeah, just Guardians, so you know, 1. Why there's a talking raccoon in the movie.
Yeah. Well, too, because, you know, like, there's a little bit where they're, when they go to
Morag.
Yeah, so, like, that, there's a callback to Morag.
That planet. Yeah.
That space planet.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give too much away or this early, because I was about to talk about, like, the plot, which we haven't broken down yet. But yeah, I think that there's, like,
it's on you now.
Well, there's a solid core of movies that you would need to see in preparation for this.
I don't think, even though that there are callbacks to it, I don't think you necessarily have to have seen Iron Man, like any of the
interestingly
Iron Man
movies. There's not a ton of content.
I mean, there is some. There absolutely are some. But I don't think you necessarily have to. Although I will say that at least with Iron Man, it's worth watching the movies that he's in, because as much as we could say the Marvel franchise is about each of the individual heroes, it's really about Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like honestly,
it's like the X-Men movies.
Exactly.
They're about Wolverine.
Exactly. And Avengers Endgame, for, you know, more or less, is a culmination of Tony Stark's arc.
Yeah.
Like, that seriously is. It's his own end game as a character.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you see him kind of as the snot-nosed rich asshole who only cares about himself in Iron Man, going to be a hero and then dealing with the responsibilities of being a hero and the aftermath and pitfalls and everything. And this movie really kind of sums up who he is and brings him full circle. So, like, mm-hmm. I would say if you're going to watch any of the movies aside from, you know, Avengers and, you know, Thor the Dark World, watch the ones that Tony Stark is in, because it's worth kind of seeing his transformation.
And you can watch the first Iron Man and then hear the Big Lebowski reference in this movie and be like, hey.
That blew John's mind. That part was great.
That blew John's mind.
But, or how Hot Tub Time Machine has Sebastian Shaw.
Oh my God, I saw.
you mean Sebastian Stan, by the way.
Is he in Hot Tub Time Machine?
That's who plays Bucky, right? Is that who you mean? Yes.
Is he in Hot Tub Time Machine?
Is he?
I didn't know that.
Sorry, my puppy is sniffing my microphone. If you guys can hear that,
yeah.
But no, because Sebastian Shaw is the guy who plays Vader at the very end of the original trilogy before they put Hayden Christensen in there.
Yeah, he plays
that at the very end.
What's a Star War?
you got your Sebastians
yeah.
mixed up.
They're all worth a quadrillion dollars.
They're all worth a quadrillion dollars. Yeah. So let's go and get into this, and I want to bring up the IMDb. Synopsize.
Well, as you're bringing up, should we all say how we felt about it?
I think maybe that works.
We should go there. This might have been my favorite Marvel movie. They really hit the landing.
I enjoyed it very much. And you guys know, I mean, I'm always complaining on these episodes.
Always bitching.
How exhausted I am by the Marvel universe. And this actually... Because it didn't have the pressure of setting up a new film, it had a lot going for it. I thought.
I would say that this was the fastest 3 hours I've ever been in a theater.
Right? I swear to God, it felt like we were there like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
John, you didn't even leave to pee.
I know. Neither did I. And I mean, I was like,
I just dumped my pants. It saved some time.
See, I was gonna wear a diaper. I should have lent one to you.
Yeah. So, like, I honestly. When I saw the runtime, I was like, oh, shit, that's going to be like a Lord of the Rings type thing. And as much as I like Lord of the Rings, it's a slow fucking movie. Like, the whole series of movies are very slow.
That's true.
Look, Ian McKellen, he's just not. He's moving slower.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, they're paced fairly slow. Even their action scenes are, for the most part, fairly slow paced. And that's just the series. So, you know, going into it, I thought, ah, oh, it's going to be one of those. But honestly... There was never a time where I was bored. There was never a time that I said, eh, that scene really didn't need to be in there. There was never a time that I wasn't engaged in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the hallmark of a good movie. You know, not even talking about any of the story or anything like that. If I am locked in the movie and I am not thinking about the time, that right there is the hallmark of a good movie. So
it is for me too, Brian. Now for this one, it felt like about 40 minutes because it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
But for me, for a normal movie, it usually feels like 20 minutes. And that's how I know. Like mm-hmm. when I can feel it start to wind down and I'm like, oh.
Well, they had a nice three act thing. Like act one was mopey sadness. Act two was time travel. Act three was big war.
I felt that there were honestly three different movies.
Going on in this movie.
Like, there were three different movies going on that they managed to successfully tie together. And that is hard to do.
Yeah, and too, I felt like there was a plot to this movie that Infinity War was sorely missing.
Yeah.
I didn't think that there was a lot of great storytelling in the first one. It was mostly a lot of setup and a lot of battle. And this one really had some behind-the-scenes stuff going on that I thought was way more... interesting than just like we're fighting and fighting and fighting.
Well, I think the problem with that is that Infinity War had a lead up that honestly, you know, kind of trumped what we got, you know, like the lead up to that of, oh, we're going to actually face Thanos. So actually Thanos is going to have more screen time than just like three lines. That was the lead up that Marvel had to push out. So that's why I think, honestly, in my opinion, Infinity War is not a story about the Avengers. It's a story about Thanos. It's a story about him being the hero of his own movie.
I buy that.
You know?
Well, the thing is, like, with Star Wars, if I watch the original trilogy, I watch all three movies at once. I don't just, like, watch one. I imagine
it's true. They're a set.
I imagine in the future I'll probably watch Infinity War and Endgame. I mean... for the 9,000 hours that'll take, but I'll watch those two movies back to back as one whole movie.
And what about like starting with the Avengers? I feel like I might do the Avengers and then...
Skip Ultron.
I'm going to skip Ultron.
Well, now you have to watch it.
Yeah.
You have to watch it
now.
Do
I have to, though? Yeah, like, James Spader as like a wisecracking robot's really not
I didn't have a problem with James Spader as the voice. I had a problem with Joss Whedon's direction.
And writing.
And writing.
Yeah, agreed.
That's what I had a problem with. Well, James Spader as Ultron was great.
Well, it's hard to direct when you're jerking off to people saying your glibby lines and being like, oh, pop culture references. I wrote them and you said them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Suck it, Joss Whedon.
So, but anyway, here's the synopsis for Endgame. Again,
you... Oh, the synopsis on IMDb is glorious. Yes. Please read it.
After the devastating events of Avengers Infinity War, the universe is in ruins. With the help of the remaining allies, the Avengers assemble once more in order to undo Thanos' actions and restore order to the universe.
Yeah.
Is that all?
Really?
It's just to restore order to the universe.
Really, that's it. That's it. That's all. Okay. That's it. That's hey, a plot right there.
Perfect. It's spoiler-free. Cap told us.
No Cap spoilers. Told us this. Yeah.
This
so,
is pretty great, though.
You know what's great about this synopsis? It doesn't give anything
away. It tells
away.
You yeah. nothing.
It tells you nothing.
It truly
it doesn't
does.
Tell you about, you know, Scarlett Johansson's mom haircut.
Which, yeah. which Jod resented deeply.
Her hey, mom Captain haircut. Marvel's I want to talk to the manager haircut.
You know, all I really cared about was that Cap shaved that wretched beard. So
you actually turned to me beard. And you said, thank God.
I did. I was very relieved. We need to see that face.
Well, now they
I
can
mean,
sell
what?
A new action figure.
Oh. Yeah.
They can have the, you remember how like Batman action figures in the early 90s, they had the Bruce Wayne action figure where you can put the cowl on him.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just have the Captain America one where you can take his beard on and off.
Yeah, and depending on whether his beard's on or off is what movie you're in.
That's right.
There you go.
He's in an Infinity War cap, so he's got that beard tacked on. Oh, you want him to go to Endgame cap? Just take that beard off and he's good to go. You know?
Perfect.
So
perfect.
So let's break this one down here. So
I feel like we don't have to overly go
no,
into the
I
plot
don't.
Because if you're here, you've seen
so,
the movie.
So I think what we need to do is as we mentioned that there are basically three different movies in this. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the first chunk of this, which is
yeah.
that beginning section with Captain
yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah, and there was some really interesting surprises for me, you know, because I didn't give a lot of speculation as to plot. I wanted to enjoy the movie instead mm-hmm. of kind of analyzing it and, you know, taking every trailer and trying to pull it apart. So I think in this beginning part, we see... where in the very beginning of the movie it starts off really quietly, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. We're with
it had a first act, which you
yeah.
don't see anymore.
Yeah,
no, well,
we're
you
with
do not.
Which is strange because we already know all these characters, but they still yeah. gave us a first act.
We're
anyways.
With Hawkeye, and he's teaching his daughter how to shoot, and basically we're with him when the snap happens,
yeah.
and it takes his whole family, and
right
that's
in front
the first.
Of
that's the first thing that we see.
Apparently, if you're
they
retired,
disappear.
Sorry, if you're a retired Avenger, you have to live on a farm. That's the rule.
Well, no, yeah. That's his character.
Yeah,
that's his home.
That's
and then
his home.
He had
there
ankle
are other
bracelet too, which I
like,
thought was interesting.
I'm no longer here. I'm living out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Well, what does that say? Yeah. You know, when you're done with like this, like really exhausting, horrible job, like you just want
really
like,
exhausting,
quiet.
Horrible. Well, like, I'm a superhero. It's horrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be terrible. It's terribly violent. You yeah. almost die a lot. Like, wouldn't you just want like a quiet, like little time with your
Maybe.
Family? You know,
maybe.
But anyway, so we start with him, and I yeah. thought that was really interesting. And then we go to the
space.
Right, to space with Tony and Nebula. And I thought this was the coolest little slice of the film, you know, where he's setting up like that like tabletop football game.
Paper football.
And like he lets her win and is like, very nurturing to her, and I feel like that was cool because it let us see a part of him that develops later on in the movie.
Yeah,
and it was just cool to see him like be nice to her, and like no one's ever really been nice to Nebula. And you want to talk about character developments? My goodness, like there's
she got
a
lot. Yeah,
she got
there's
a lot.
Number of I think of it, what's interesting about the movie is okay. So spoiler alert: there's time travel in the movie.
Woo!
But what's interesting, I think, is that we are confronted with the old, ungrown characters
yeah.
from the previous stories with their fully fleshed counterparts, and
yeah.
no pun intended in Nebula's case, since she's not a ton of flesh at this point now. But Ayo. You really can see that contrast and that growth,
yeah.
and that was one of the things that I thought was really well done
yeah.
in this film, because we've seen where we've been and we've seen how far we've come.
Yeah,
especially with some of the characters. You know, I saw it in Natasha a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw it in Nebula. You know, for the worse, I saw it in Thor. But like you said, you know, Brian, we see the fully fleshed arc of being a human being of Tony Stark,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And then we justify a $100 million movie to write our way out of getting Tony Stark back to Earth when Captain Marvel shows up and guides his ship to Earth.
Yeah, Tony Stark's
That's
in deep...
That's the whole reason Captain Marvel existed as a movie.
Tony Stark is in deep
To get him out of space.
Yeah, he's in deep shit. He's on the dead cruiser that he's in space with Nebula. He's about to die because the oxygen's going to run out. And then, just kidding, Captain Marvel's going to hear... I will say... I had a few questions. I had a few issues with the film. I really thought it was a shame that they booted this whole Captain Marvel thing up for her to be in the movie for what? Like a cumulative 15 minutes? She was not in Endgame a lot, and I did not feel like her...
When they go back to Earth, they're like, hey, there's some like earthquakes and shit. Oh, we're going to go look at that, which never went anywhere. And then Captain Marvel's like, hey, I need to go look at something on Mars or whatever. I'm going to leave for 90% of the runtime.
She just See wasn't you later. In the, yeah, so, I mean, she wasn't in the movie a lot. I didn't think it was worth it.
To be fair, they filmed these parts before they even made Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yes. That is why the hair is different. That is why all that is different. It's because they filmed Endgame well before they even made Captain Marvel.
I didn't think they did a bad job or anything. No. I'm just saying, like, they really did
But ultimately, that's the reason why.
Yeah, and I just feel like they made a big deal out of the whole thing with Captain Marvel when she was a very ancillary, like, almost forgettable part of Endgame.
I think part of that is absolutely, I think that's a fault. They didn't want to have Captain Marvel do too much for fear that if her solo movie came out, which it did come out before, that it would flop. That's my guess. When they do things like this, where they kind of like, you know, stick the tip in a little bit and then just don't do anything else.
Just
like,
a tip.
Just a tip. That literally is fear on the part of the studio.
Dick fear?
It's dick fear.
My God.
No, I think you're, dick I fear. Think you're spot on.
You guys
on
just that. Did a just the tip analogy and it
Listen,
actually
we talked
works.
About Infinity cock ring, okay? All I'm getting across is just that I think that Marvel was afraid of how... would Captain Marvel be received?
Sure.
So because of that, they minimized her to
interesting
a supporting role.
Interesting.
And I think that's fine, given that she's not, honestly, the focus of this movie.
Right, and I'm not saying that she should have been, and I also really like Brie Larson, and I think she's great in this role. But like I said, I just feel like, you know, you have to look at the marketing machine in addition to the film itself. Yeah. So, like, I think as a marketing standpoint, I felt like Captain Marvel was really pushed on us. And then for her to not have much to do with the movie, I just thought it was a little confusing.
I also think that I don't know what she would have done in the plot.
Yeah.
Like the middle section of this movie, for the most part, is solely going back and revisiting older films. And
that's a convoluted clip show. I mean,
right.
But I mean, but it was really
but it was
satisfying.
A good convoluted clip.
Right.
You
right,
say
right,
that like a bad thing. It was really satisfying.
I think that's why it was important that we kind of said at the top of it that how we felt about it. And
sure.
Because I feel that sometimes we can come off as negative because we're here to critique.
Yeah.
Sure.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. But obviously, so I don't want anybody to think I'm just being a dick, but like, here comes the critique stuff.
Yeah, know? Right, of course. Well, let me go through this real quick. So what I found the most fascinating is, so Captain Marvel saves Tony's life, the Avengers assemble, and they kind of just take stock of what's going on. Like, you know, it's been like almost a month since the snap and governments and fractions, you know, people are really, you know, just struggling to get by. Mm-hmm. And then the team goes to the garden where, you know, Thanos has been, you know, hiding out or whatever. And
making
and it's
soup.
And it's interesting because and
he's and making he's
like,
soup.
He's like grabbing rutabagas out of the yard and
space
shit.
Rutabagas.
Again, he's a
knows
farmer.
How to cook. Did you see him like sprinkling like the,
yeah,
the pepper
he's,
in there?
He's a farmer now and he's in his like hut or whatever.
My
and
name is Thanos. I told I'll be Brian doing a cooking show.
I told Brian if it became a cooking show while we were watching the movie, I would never stop laughing.
Cooking with Thanos.
Food Network, Guy Fieri and Thanos.
So yeah, this is
Thanos,
money.
That's money.
Oh, of course Fieri survives the snap.
Iron Chef with Thanos.
He's the only one from the Food Network that survives the snap. It's 24 hours of Guy Fieri.
Oh my God. But
Today's secret ingredient will be the Mind Stone.
So the Avengers track him to this planet, and it's interesting because the only preconceived notion I had was I thought we would be battling Thanos this whole movie.
And I think a lot of people
would
did.
Be a whole thing. No, Thanos used the stones to destroy them, like just to destroy the stones themselves.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And it almost killed him to destroy them. Like physically, it almost killed him. And they like confront him with Captain Marvel. They finally have enough firepower to kind of shut Thanos down, but they realize that the stones are gone, and just out of anger, you know, Thor beheads him.
Chops his hand off, then beheads him.
A family picture.
It was very surprised. I was very surprised.
I loved
this.
It. And I was like, holy shit.
Well,
because you just threw us all for a loop, Marvel.
And like, let me say this. If this was not Marvel and not that they didn't make a quadrillion dollars every one of these movies, like, this would be an R rating.
Oh yeah,
they got a PG-13 because they're Disney and Marvel,
and because they killed a CGI character.
Yeah, there's decapitations, and later in the movie Hawkeye, like, I mean, it's off screen, but like shoves a sword through someone's head.
so here we are, and then I also found this to be surprising. After Thanos is dead, we get the words on the screen 5 years later.
There is one thing, though, that you did miss.
What did I miss?
Iron Man has a fight with all the Avengers, including Cap.
Oh, yeah. He's always fighting.
No, but this is where I get
a piss fight.
This was the callback to Age of Ultron that I say you kind of have to pay attention to. Because if you watched Age of Ultron and were like, this movie fucking sucks, why is all this stuff happening? The reason why is because Tony Stark, since then, has had a fear of Thanos and has had a fear of this situation happening, of being the only one left alive when everyone around him dies. And this, and Infinity War, was that fear realized. So we're getting, you know, Tony encountering the people that honestly let him down. And he doesn't handle it well. So he's emaciated. He's, you know, sick and dying and, you know, at the point of death. And he just lets in to Captain America. And I think it's great because it is him reacting to the worst possible scenario and then deciding, because he's deciding, I'm not doing this anymore, and going back to his ways prior to Iron Man, where thinking only about himself.
Yeah.
Thinking about not caring about anyone. He's like, I'm out. We lost. You know, you guys were the fall of it. And, you know, not take responsibility anymore.
Well, he watched a 16-year-old love child die in front of him. You know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's the fear that we got exposed to in Age of Ultron realized. And it's seen how you react to that situation.
Well, and too, it's a big reaction to loss. Like, we see how they all deal with loss in different ways. Yes. And for Tony, I mean, like, he was really bothered by losing Peter Parker. You know, he felt so responsible for that death. You can see it throughout the entire film. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think,
he is responsible for exploiting a child for his own gain for the last couple of years.
No mercy in this one.
You
merciless.
Just really don't like him.
Well, he had a piss fight with his boyfriend, Captain America, so he went and grabbed a 16-year-old kid and been like, yeah, you're going to be a superhero now so that I can win my fight with my boyfriend, and then we'll have kissies.
Listen, you aren't going to convince me that Civil War wasn't annoying, because I couldn't get through it.
I actually like Civil War.
Lane hates Civil War.
I know you guys didn't like Civil War. I
liked
Civil War.
I liked it all right. Now,
John
Lane
liked it.
Like,
I did not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So anyway, yeah, as you said, we flash forward 5 years, which I'm just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
really?
Well, when they kill Thanos, I really wish they just run roll credits.
That would have been incredible.
Yay! We got him!
That would have been incredible.
But I mean, it takes a lot of balls to be able to do that, because as you said, everyone thought this whole movie was going to be nothing but battling Thanos and the Infinity Stones again, and it was... And, like, I think if they did that, they still would have made a shit ton of money, but I don't think it would have been nearly as good of a movie. So, for them to go kind of introspective on it and pick up with our heroes 5 years later, 5 years of living in a world in which they failed and are
That's
dealing
interesting,
with...
isn't it?
And dealing with the results of that failure and seeing how each and every one of them kind of copes with that. Cap's in a therapy session, like group therapy with a bunch of survivors.
How to move on.
How to move on. Black Widow's trying to keep kind of some semblance of the Avengers alive by working with Okoye and War Machine and
Rocket
and all those people, and just trying to be like keep every some semblance of order alive, because that's all she has to keep her sanity going.
And gets a much better haircut.
Gets a much better haircut.
Yeah. AKA her hair just grows out.
Yeah. You know.
She has red highlights in it. It's nice.
That's not red highlights. That's her hair color.
Well, there's blonde in it too.
Yeah, so. She dyed it blonde. She grew it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm impressed. You know a lot about like growing out dyed hair.
Believe it or not, at one time I did have hair.
Yeah, you did. I believe it.
I had hair at one
time. She's been a brunette, a redhead, and a blonde. So.
No, she's always been a redhead.
Just redhead. No, in Iron Man 2, she was a brunette.
Iron Man 2, she was a redhead.
Would you call that
Listen,
red?
I'm not.
Very
red.
Dark. It's very dark.
You know, red. John, I'm not sure how you can be counted because you're not usually looking at her hair, so.
What am I looking at?
Her ass.
No, I'm looking at her boobs.
No, you're not. You're always looking at her ass. Her boobs are not as good as her ass.
Oh, Natasha.
No, seriously. So they've been running these movies on cable.
Yeah.
And so the first Avengers was just on cable, and I was just like hanging out watching it. She comes on screen, and John was like, oh.
Or I thought you were going to say she comes on screen, and John's like, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. No, John don't bother me for an hour.
He just like audibly moaned. He was just like, oh. And I was like, excuse me. Yeah. And that's what he said. He's like,
That was your id coming out right there. Whoopsie.
The worst.
And you went to the bathroom for an hour.
I became cockeyed.
Gross.
I had to shoot my arrow.
Gross. Oh, these
was it on target?
These double entendres. Yeah.
So anyway, Black Widow is basically holding down the fort. Of being somewhat of a hero while dealing with all of this. Tony Stark has gone on and had a family.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he really took to heart the I'm out game. Like,
yeah.
Literally just said, I'm fucking out. Mm-hmm. Moved into a farm, a log cabin with Pepper.
It's a lake house.
He has Wi-Fi. Unlike Hawkeye.
Of course the man has Wi-Fi. He's Tony fucking Stark. You know, he's living with Pepper. He's got a little girl, adorable.
Played by the cutest child ever. Oh, my God. Her tiny little voice and her sweet little face. She was so cute.
You know, and at the same time, you also have Hawkeye, who has gone the exact opposite way and lost his fucking shit.
He's lost his mind.
He's hunting down the
criminals, right?
Criminals.
The Hakuza from... Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Well, oh my God. He not only does that, he murders like all of the cartel people in Mexico.
Like slaughters them. Like to the point where like War Machine was like, I couldn't even look
and
at
that's
it.
Just funny because the man's name is War Machine and you're like, War Machine saying this is too much?
Yeah.
So
at the same time as like, you know, Tony's playing Little House on the Prairie with his family. Mm-hmm. So we see a storage unit where the van from Ant-Man has been stored.
Yes.
And this is amazing. A rat like turns the machine back on after all this time.
Who would have thought that the savior of the universe was a fucking rat?
I mean, nobody thought to, like, hit that button before the rat. Like,
nope.
What's this do?
Why would they? I mean, like, they just found an abandoned van and it was put into storage, you know? And so...
Didn't anybody open the back and were like, is that a quantum generator?
Yeah, John, because people know what that looks
people
like.
People know what quantum generators are, right?
So anyway, a rat basically brings...
Scott Lang
back from the quantum realm.
Yeah.
So, this is my moment where I say, oh, because Paul Rudd is just... so freaking cute. he's always been cute.
He does not age.
And and I wish that he had like not had a shirt on in this movie because it would have been nice. But
Avengers 2, not age of Paul Rudd.
unaging Paul Rudd. But so then we get a little bit of his perspective because we find out later that it felt like he was in the quantum realm for about 5 hours and 5 years have passed because time is different in the quantum realm. Mm-hmm. So he kind of goes through San Francisco and figures out what's going on, and there's a memorial to the vanished.
And that was a beautiful
shot. Him looking for Cassie's name. Oh
well,
my God.
Well, not just
amazing.
That, just showing like again our reaction to that type of scenario is to build memorials to that.
Yeah,
it was
that's
a beautiful scene to see in terms of just cinematography.
Even before that, like the set design, when he's going through that neighborhood, all those garbage, garbage is everywhere because there's nobody to collect
missing
it.
Posters everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the infrastructure of like, you know, like how our society has collapsed in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And did you guys think it was interesting when he saw that kid and the kid like didn't even speak to him? Because that kid was what, about 10?
Yeah.
So he was probably 5 when the snap happened, and he may not just like have developed like a normal child.
I mean,
you know?
there's no way that he would have developed as a normal child. I mean, that I looked at it as that is such a traumatic event to have happen.
Exactly.
That everybody is shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Like literally.
And that, I thought that was so interesting that he, you know, that kid didn't even speak to him when Scott stops that guy, you know, the kid in the bike and says, "Hey, what the hell happened here?" You know, and the kid can't even answer. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But Scott, of course, was worried about Cassie, his daughter. And then he realizes that his name is on the vanished list. Mm-hmm. And so then he goes to, I assume, the last address where he knew where she was. And goes, and Cassie's 5 years older. She's a teenager.
He gets over this pretty quickly.
She's 17.
He gets over this pretty quickly.
John was such a turd about this. And I've like given this a lot of thought. Like, so Scott's the kind of person who like knows the quantum realm exists.
Yeah.
His first concern, you know, about this whole situation was, oh my God, is my daughter gone?
Yeah.
When you think someone is like, not dead, because that's not, I mean, that's not really the word we're dealing with here, because they used it on the memorial, the vanished, which I thought was interesting. You know, but when he thought that Cassie was gone to him forever and then found out that she was okay, I mean, you can see it in Paul Rudd's face, I think, because he's a pretty good actor, like where he is shocked and like upset. But I think when you're, you know, when you're Ant-Man and you can be really tiny and you can be in some place called the fucking quantum realm, like I think your standard for weirdness is different than ours.
Well, the whole point of both Ant-Man movies was his desire to have access to his daughter so he could watch her grow up.
Yeah. Right?
And that's exactly what he lost. And he's just like,
heh. He's not, well, though. He's upset.
I think he's upset, but at the same time, he is relieved that she's not gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like I said,
I think
you
that
think
relief is enough.
Yeah. Like when you think someone's dead, you know, and maybe like you find them in a way that you wouldn't expect, but they're still alive. Like that's all that really matters at the end of the day. And like, I think when he says like, "You're so big," you know, he's like crying for what he's lost, you know, because he says it through tears. And I think that Paul Rudd did a great job of like conveying a lot of the confusing emotions here. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I made this joke with you in the car, John. It's not like 24, you know, where we see Jack Bauer do every minute of his day. Like we can't follow Scott Lang around when he like has to excuse himself and go to the bathroom for a good cry because like, you know, well, Cassie's 5 years
older.
We
know he spends about 25 minutes in the bathroom regardless because
that's
of
true.
Ant-Man the Wasp. What do you do for 25 minutes in the bathroom?
That's true.
And Paul Rudd's not that good of an actor. So it's best
I
to just not
follow. I
think
he's a fine actor.
I
thought
he's a great comedic actor.
I thought he did a great job with this.
So, you know, at that point, you know, we see Scott go to the Avengers compound.
Mm-hmm. And he has an idea.
And he has an idea.
And then they go to Tony to try to flesh out that idea.
Well, the idea is
the movie gets really stupid.
Time travel. And this is where we get our second movie.
Right.
In this three movie.
The time structure. Heist.
The time heist.
Hey, Tony Stark, can you invent time travel? Sure.
No, you keep getting this wrong. He did not invent time travel. He invented a way to navigate time.
Yes. So, it's called time travel.
It's called time travel.
Yeah. He found the GPS for the quantum realm. The quantum realm is the vehicle in which they travel through time.
Yes.
They enter the quantum realm at one point and exit at another. He did not invent time travel, simply a way to navigate the quantum realm.
Well, here's my thing, and I'm glad we're talking about time travel. So my one criticism about this movie is that time travel is the hardest fucking thing to explain.
Dude, I don't even want to talk about
it. We have to talk about it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't even want to hear, like, your complaints about it, Brian. I have literally forbidden time travel speak on a long car ride with this man because it's all he wants to talk about.
But, okay, my point, I'm going to make this brief, okay? I'm going to try to make this brief, Lane. Okay, my problem is that when movies and TV shows use time travel, there needs to be established rules that everyone can very easily understand. Okay, because your whole plot is now dependent on those rules.
Well, basically, just don't run into your past self.
Well, but what I'm saying is every movie and every TV show handles it differently. And the reason why Back to the Future, in my opinion, holds up is because they simplified that explanation of time travel. They, like, literally, you can point to scenes and say, this is where Doc Brown is explaining how time travel works. And it's easily understood, and the audience buys into it. My problem with Avengers Endgame is that they spent so much time trying to say, oh, yes, that Back to the Future reference, that's not real. And that Doctor Who reference, that's not real. And, like, saying this is the real way and this is not the real way. And it got confusing. So, like, when they're saying, okay, we're going to go back, steal the Infinity Stones, and then we're going to go back again because if we don't do that, it's going to create all sorts of things. I'm like, you're over-explaining.
Really? I felt it was good.
No, that is my one criticism, is that I think the time travel speak was way too over the head of most people. Because it, ultimately what they're saying is that they're creating alternate realities. They're not actually creating time travel. They're branching out. So ultimately,
in one where the first Avengers movie, they fucking fail.
But that's what I'm saying is like they're saying there is a prime timeline now, and then there are alternate timelines that they've now created.
But those erase as soon as they return the stones necessarily to where they belong.
Not necessarily. Loki's because there's now. There's now a timeline in which Guardians of the Galaxy never encounter Thanos.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying that because of the actions of Avengers Endgame, there's a timeline where Captain America is with Peggy Carter.
And we'll talk about that
later. We're going to get to that. But there's also a timeline.
She
never gets her husband and kid.
So that Cap can get his dick wet.
Guys.
From a woman he met for a day or two.
Guys, I have a lot to say about that later. We'll say about it later.
You know, she's not her kid, though. That's her aunt.
No, well, on the TV show.
They have a kid.
On the TV show, she has a kid.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
No, in the one movie where she's old, when is she old? We see Peggy Carter as an old woman in one of them.
You see her in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, she has like photos, right?
Oh, she does.
She has photos of her kid, but not her husband.
Yes.
And she said her husband has just been out. And when she sees young Cap, she's like, "It's been so long since I've seen you, Cap." Don't you think that that's Dill could have been her husband, and they planned for that all along?
No, I think that's exactly what they did. I think, honestly, that is what they did. But my problem is that contradicts everything that they've been saying about the different time branches that they're creating.
Well, you can't, you have to preserve the timeline unless you're Captain America and you'd to finally go on a date.
Yes.
I hear you.
But regular
Captain America was still out there doing Captain America things. Just, Steve Rogers got to live this quiet life with the woman he fell in love with.
Right.
This is so annoying.
Narratively, I don't have a problem with it. My point is that the one fault I will give this movie is that they didn't properly explain time travel in a way that the audience can get. You know, that is the one thing I'll say, is if you're going to use time travel, if you're going to use that, explain it properly.
Sure.
You watch Doctor Who, they clearly explain it. Certain events. And then a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just go back and kill Hitler or something like that? It's like, well, Doctor Who says certain events in time are immovable. You can't mess with them, because they will fundamentally break time. Okay. And there are episodes in that series where that happens and it's explained. It's understood. Back to the Future, you mess with something in the past. Guess what? That's going to reverberate down to your future, That's clearly understood. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I mean, this was just a different take on it, where it was saying, you have to preserve the master timeline.
I just thought that it was a little over the head of the audience. I thought that it could have been easier understood if they just broke it down and not tried to ram home a bunch of scenes in which they're trying to say, oh yeah, Back to the Future is not true. This isn't true. It's this way,
Well, basically, time travel is the most complicated get-out-of-jail-free card you can use.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. But I liked it, in this case where they're saying, okay, it's like a time heist.
Yeah.
I liked how they kind of put a different spin on it and made it something a little new,
Well, that's pulled from Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
The term time heist is pulled from Doctor Who.
Is it? Yes. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Doctor Who, so I didn't know
that. You had mentioned they went to Tony Stark because, they went to Hulk, who is... Professor Hulk.
The Hulk thing has been very polarizing. I've seen. Like I liked Hulk. It too. Well,
apparently, the internet's very thirsty for
something.
Professor Hulk.
Hashtag. I would hit it.
Here's the thing. I kept thinking. I'm like, so does that mean Professor Hulk banged Black Widow?
I don't think so.
In the 5 years?
I don't think so.
Oh yeah. They met
up. No way. She was way too pent up.
No, my guess is they had a relationship immediately after, a grief relationship, and then, you know, ultimately it didn't work out.
Maybe.
She had the mom haircut.
I think he's
had a mom haircut.
She got the greener. And then she grew her hair out because she's like, I'm free now.
John.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Greener is green wiener, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She got that incredible bulk. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
Oh, my God. I don't think so. I think that he was spending the 5 years working on being, like, the mix of the two. I thought he was, like, a little too glib, like, when he was, like, what was that? What was the kids doing? Dabbing? Was he dabbing? I don't know.
He did dab.
At the end. I thought that was a little much, but well, overall.
Movies, the tone. They're very fast and loose with the comedy.
Yeah.
And,
well, overall, I liked the new Hulk.
I
thought it was very
it.
Funny.
Well, I thought. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, but so they go to him and he's like, well, I can't really do time travel, so you guys should go to Tony Stark. And he's like, I don't really want to do it. Come on, Tony. Okay, I'll have it figured out by after dinner.
You're being very glib. That's not how that works. They went to Tony, and Tony said, no, no way in hell. Fuck you. Go away. You can stay for lunch if you don't talk about work. Then they went to Hulk, and Hulk was like, it's not really my expertise, you know, but I guess I could look at a few things.
Yeah.
And then on his own, because it was bothering him in some undetermined amount of time, Tony figured out not time travel, but how to navigate the quantum realm.
Yes.
In his farmhouse after dinner.
Whatever. He has that like hollow
listen,
board with Friday.
Stark. He's going to do that. Okay. This suspension of disbelief, John.
Yeah.
Okay,
of all the things to have a problem with, like, let's not nitpick at this.
That right there is your one issue.
Tony came
it's
up
not
with like,
the fact
fancy
that you've
GPS.
Got a talking fucking raccoon in it.
All right, guys. In Batman Begins, they spent the first hour of that movie showing him learning how to fight in the mountains.
Oh, my God.
They should have showed like Tony Stark, like, doing like a montage of like all his failed.
It's a montage. Like,
experiments.
No, because we did that in Age of Ultron, and it was a pointless scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked that they really
and
got
movie's
to.
This 3 hours. I guess
and this movie's need, 3 hours
we
long.
I like that they got to brass tacks on this. All right.
So he
figures it out, and
so
then
they
they're
need to assemble.
And they're running experiments with Hulk, and like they're just not quite getting there. And Tony has figured out like a very like important element to navigating, so that you know what was it? So that Lang. Passes through time and time doesn't pass through Lang. Is
correct.
That how he put
we
it?
Get, like old Paul Rudd and baby Paul.
That was
that
a
part
great
was hilarious.
Scene. Oh my God, that was so funny. There were so many good one-liners. Like when Natasha says, "I get emails from a raccoon. Nothing seems weird to me anymore." That was a really great one. And then when Scott said, "I peed my pants," but I'm not sure if it was old me or baby me. Or me. That was so funny. I mean, there was really good lines in this.
Now the one Avenger we have not yet really talked about. Is probably, I think, one of the most divisive characters in this.
Ooh, yes, I know.
And
what
that is the portrayal of Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
I loved it.
Yeah, so like I said, they're assembling it. And they have to go to New Asgard.
Yeah,
New
which is in like Norwegian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so they go there.
According to Lady Person from Ragnarok.
That is Valkyrie.
Yeah. Valkyrie.
She's like
Lady Person.
Yeah. I didn't like
Valkyrie, played by the amazing Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, he's like a drunk and he won't talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. And like, okay, so so people are upset because like basically what's going on with Thor is that he has PTSD, he is mentally ill, and you know, kind of he let himself go. He drank a lot of beer and when we see
plays
Thor,
Fortnite.
CGI'd his body to
so that was
to
makeup.
Be
that
like,
was practical.
Was it practical?
I think part of it was practical, yeah.
Ooh, so like, but you know, the joke is, you know, Thor, the God of Thunder, is fat, ha ha ha. Like, he's fat.
I'm going to disagree with you.
About what?
Tony Stark has post-traumatic stress disorder. Thor has severely depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that was, like, from the internet.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not necessarily
no.
my
yeah,
personal
I don't think
opinion.
He has PTSD.
No, I don't
you don't think he has PTSD from
no,
killing
Thanos? Depression.
They thought he had PTSD from killing Thanos. That was one of the
articles I read.
I think
he is dealing with guilt of failure.
Yeah.
I think like depression. He is seriously...
His symptoms are more depression than
PTSD.
It makes sense. Well, and too, I mean, like, I can kind of see both camps. Like, his state is played for laughs because it's like, oh my God, you know, Chris Hemsworth that has this like insane body. He's like fat now and like, haha, it's fun. It's supposed to be funny. And it's played for jokes too, because, you know, he's like kind of drunk all the time. And, you know, it's
he's got his buddies playing video games.
Yeah, they're playing Fortnite together.
Somebody was like,
hey, noob. This is Thor, the God of Thunder. I will come and fly over to your ass.
or come and shove it up your butt. Oh, my God. Again, when I talk about good lines, like, God damn, that was hilarious.
I love some of these nitpickers who are like, would Fortnite still be so popular in 5 years?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
It's like, no, here's why Fortnite, they put it in the movie, because they have Avengers characters in Fortnite coming out. That's why. They don't care if it's popular in 5 years. They got video games to sell now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dickhead. You're being sold to. It's a giant commercial. Get over it. You want an Audi?
Seriously. So anyway, I mean, that is the concern on the part of the internet, that his mental state, you know, has been played for laughs. I mean, I can see where we're coming from. I think it's good that we're talking about this stuff, because being, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, we should be talking about this stuff always. And you know, and I think the conversation it sparks was good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it's a Marvel movie, and he's, you know, he's not real, guys. You know, like,
he's not real, guys.
It's not the most progressive comedy, I will admit, because I'm not usually a big person like for fat jokes. But the contrast of, like, he's literally a god and he drank so much beer that he has a gut now. Like, it is supposed to be funny.
Here's why I loved it. I loved it because, you know, Thor is a character that, you know, has always been, in my opinion, up until about Thor Ragnarok, one-dimensional. He's been a one-dimensional character. You know, Thor the Dark World, even the first Thor, he was just a one-dimensional character that really didn't add much to it. And it wasn't until Taika Waititi basically got involved and said, you know what, we're going to play into the goofy nature of Thor and make him more comedic. And I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that also on top of that, you know, Thor has always been pushed up as, like, he's the king of Asgard. He's the god of thunder. He's the hero we need, blah, blah, blah. He's one of the most powerful Avengers. And to see how he reacts to utter complete failure, though, you know, his whole race of people has been reduced down to a village, okay? Mm-hmm. Everyone he knows is dead. His dad's dead. His mom's dead. You know, his brother is dead. He watched him die in front of him. And the guy who killed his brother, you know, he can't even get revenge on him. You know, you would think cutting off his head would bring it. No, he it can't even do
him,
that.
It didn't make him feel better.
So, yeah, he's going to fall into complete and utter despair and do what, you know, he is the exact opposite, which is to be selfless.
Yeah, well, and too, like, as a character who was
selfish,
who was so obsessed with perfection, it's interesting to see Thor be as about unperfect as you can be, you know, to be human. He kind of, you know, tapped into a more human aspect of himself by being, you know, succumbing, I guess, to this complete failure.
And I thought it was great, because I think if you just had him brooding all around for 5 years, it would seem unrealistic.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? And yeah, he was played
Zack
for
laughs. Zack Snyder didn't direct this.
No, but I'm just saying, like, he's played for laughs, but I think, you know, part of his arc is, you know, reconciling with his failure. You know, that is the thing with Thor is reconciling with his failure, realizing that it's okay to fail. It's just, how do you get back up?
You know, like, how do you get through it? And you know, by leaning on your friends.
Rene
Russo teaches him.
My God. But, you know, and by leaning on your friends, because, you know, Hulk, I know Hulk was there to get him, like, for the assembling of the Avengers, but Hulk was also there as a friend. And when he saw how bad things were, he was like, look, like, we can do this. You can do this.
And it's a good parallel to Thor Ragnarok, because in Thor Ragnarok, Thor was the one trying to help Hulk.
Right. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, was it perfectly executed? No. I mean, can I see some of the problems that people are talking about? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it is a Marvel movie. And, you know, I'm not sure that we have the same exacting standards on certain issues as we would for other things. You
so
know?
So yeah. All our Avengers are assembled. You know, Hawkeye, Black Widow grabs him from
his like his murder spree.
Yeah. And
in Japan.
In Japan. And they come up with their plan. And the time heist is to basically go back to certain points in the Marvel Universe timeline and acquire the Infinity Stones so that they can then create their own gauntlet that can undo the snap. Like, yeah. That's ultimately what it all comes down to. So they're all...
Because all they want to do is bring everybody all they back do is bring into everybody the real back. Time like that they're in now.
Yes, yes. They don't want to undo the past 5 years. They just want to undo, you know, half the universe's population disappearing. So, well,
and that's what they say. Like that, I think that's why they describe it like, don't worry, it won't affect our timeline. We'll just bring everybody back so Tony Stark doesn't lose her daughter, or, you know.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If they just said, let's go back 5 years and, you know, all that stuff, their timeline would cease to exist.
Well, and two, I mean, I thought that this was also like for practical reasons, because let's be frank, they tried to fight Thanos and they lost.
Yes.
So like, why would you go to try to fight Thanos again? You know, just take the wrong and right it rather than trying to change how the past has been, you know, transpired.
Although I will say that this does present a little bit of a problem for future movies, because you now have half the population that lived through 5 years of hell.
They're 5 years older, whereas and the people who the were people gone were. Back, well, we'll see not. How that plays out, I guess, in the next Spider-Man movie, because I have a feeling they'll have to mention it, you know? Yeah.
Well, speaking of severe post-traumatic stress disorder, can you imagine I've lost 5 years and I technically died and I was brought back by magic? Like, you're all fucked up. You're all
but, like, everybody knows who Thanos is in this world, so it's not like it's real uncommon to know, like, exactly what's going on, I suppose.
So they break up into teams, and a portion of them go back to the Battle of New York, because
the first
Avengers movie, because they realize they can get the Tesseract, and they can also get the Mind Stone there.
And the Time Stone.
And the Time Stone, because all three are there.
Yep.
I think that's Captain America, Hulk, Ant-Man.
Tony and Ant-Man.
And Tony. They all go back to that time in which...
Some great moments some in here. Some fantastic like, really moments. Funny stuff.
And I don't want to go through the whole section.
Yeah, no.
This is the bulk of the movie, but...
You saw it. You saw it.
Yeah.
Captain America's ass and all that good stuff.
Oh, the best line. Great lines. Oh, such good lines.
Yeah, that is America's ass. Because what's nice is you realize that that Captain America has eased up a little bit.
Yeah, well, again, you get to see them confronted with their past selves, and you can see the growth. And I thought that was such a cool way to show us how far we've come. Like, I really did enjoy that.
So we get Avengers 1, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Infinity War. That's where they travel.
Yeah, pretty much.
So those three movies. I mean timelines.
But
like I said, I didn't mind, you know, the clip show aspect or the fact that we were going back like to other movies, because like I said, you know, we've come a long way, and like this has been a decade in the making, and like we're definitely somewhere different than we've been before. It's really cool.
Well, they get all the stones. Mm-hmm. They come back. Now Thanos in 2012.
You're missing a couple deaths here.
Okay, well, I mean, we don't want this to be 9 hours.
No, I don't. I just think that one death is important to mention.
Yeah, we should talk about this. So, what's that planet called?
Vormir,
that's it. So,
Guardians of the Galaxy planet.
Guardians of the Galaxy planet.
So, Nat and...
No, that's Morag.
Nat and Hawkeye go to Vormir to find the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize what the price was for the Soul Stone.
They encounter Red Skull.
And someone has to, you have to like sacrifice someone that you love. And this I didn't like the way that they handled this necessarily, but I thought what was really nice about this is, you know, you don't see a lot of platonic relationships celebrated. You don't see a lot of platonic love. You know, in this case, it's of, you know, a man and a woman who aren't sexually attracted to each other. And I thought that was interesting that they did love each other as much as you can as friends. But I really liked that there was no romantic element to it. I liked that they didn't go that direction with this relationship. You know, but yeah, they fight over who gets to be the one to die. And ultimately, Natasha is the one that sacrifices herself. Did I say Natalie a second ago? I feel like I did. I did not mean
you
to.
You said Nat.
Nat, okay.
Nat.
Because it's definitely Natasha. But she's the one that sacrifices herself. And I don't know, maybe this would have been like too like sunny or like perfect, but I thought the fact that they were both so willing to die for the other, I thought maybe that could like break the Soul Stone curse and like neither would have to die. Like, I thought that would be nice.
Well, there was a huge problem of them both trying to kill themselves. That's not a sacrifice. Like, you have to sacrifice someone.
Oh, that, yeah, I so see if, what you're
if
saying.
If Hawkeye had, or if Natasha had succeeded in just running off the cliff and she just dies and they don't get the Soul Stone, oh, fuck.
Well,
you
I mean.
Have pin particles for
this. I guess them sacrificing themselves Do-over. Was also okay.
I mean, because technically Hawkeye, well, and then he didn't even sacrifice her. She just leaped off the mountain.
Yeah, and I mean, I just, like I said, I thought that them both being so willing to die maybe should have, like, magicked it up or something. And I thought it was crap that they didn't have a funeral for her. That was garbage.
Listen, there's too much going on.
There's too much going on.
Too much going on. We can only have one funeral in this movie.
God damn it.
Remember, Elaine, Hawkeye lives because he has kids, and if you're infertile, you are not as human.
She's a monster. That bugged me.
You can't
me.
Have kids, you're a so monster. You die.
Yeah. That really bugged me.
Plus, although I mean, it was her journey in this movie, like, you know, by whatever it takes, and like, you know, she was leading the Avengers and was like,
yeah,
you know, so I her sacrifice would mean more, you
and
know?
all she wanted was like, you know, to get to this moment and to figure out, you know, how to bring everybody back, and you know, and she she became a real leader, which was nice.
Yeah, I personally didn't have a problem with it, just because, like, you know, Black Widow has been one of those characters that has been a great supporting character.
Yeah, again, she's been a little one-dimensional.
But she's never been, you know, someone who's up and center and, you know, has dimension to them, has backstory to them. We get enough backstory to know who she is. And I think that part of that is the fault of Marvel and Disney. You know, that's their fault, that they dragged their ass on a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, like, which they're making now.
Which my guess is it's going to be a prequel.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine that.
But, so yeah, Black Widow dies, and they get all the stones eventually. The one I do want to mention in the whole time heist thing is when they go back to, I think it's like 1973 or something like that.
Yeah, because, okay, so when they go to New York,
pin particles.
When they go to New York, shit goes sideways, and they have to go get more pin particles, and then they think
Loki gets the Tesseract, and they completely failed.
Well, Loki transports himself to the Loki Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
Wow. That was savage and true and amazing.
It's true. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Tom Hiddleston's like, I will play this character till I'm dead. Seriously. I'm like Anthony Daniels as 3PO.
Yeah, seriously. So, but they don't get what they need to get done in New York. So Cap and Tony go back to 1970 to like the SHIELD headquarters at the time, or whatever,
in New Jersey,
and to get more PIM particles to come back and to get what they
these
need.
PIM particles are what make time travel possible.
They're the flux capacitor.
Yeah, the flux capacitor.
Right.
And the thing is, he's like, Ant-Man's like, hey, we only have like enough PIM particles to do this once, so we can't fail. Why didn't they say, hey, why don't we time travel to grab more pin particles, and then we'll have unlimited opportunities to do this. And no, it took them to fail where Tony Stark was like, hey, let's go get some more pin particles. Like, why didn't we think of that, you know, in the first place?
Listen, they're really tired and almost everyone is dead, okay? It's been a long day.
Plus, here's my thing, too. You're telling me that Hank Pym didn't have a storage unit full of pin particles in that little, like, suitcase thing that he has?
Oh, yeah.
You're telling me in that little building that there isn't, like, a bunch, like, a vat full of PIM particles they could pull from?
Yeah. But, yeah, they go back to the 70s, and we get our very last ever Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. Oh, my gosh. That was rough.
I was telling Lane
that it was the last one, you know?
When Ant-Man was, like, old, I thought that should have been Stan Lee.
That would have been really funny.
But yeah, so they go and get the pin particles, and we get a very nice scene between Tony Stark and his dad, Howard Stark.
Yes.
You know, and obviously Howard has no idea.
Such a nice moment.
Who Tony is.
Really loved this.
And you know, and it's all part of like Tony's journey, and he comes to you know, a nice end point with his dad and learns a lot about his father.
That's because the whole journey with him has been, you know, realizing that his father is not the piece of shit that he always thought he was.
Yeah.
You know, you get kind of glimpses of that in Iron Man 2. You see glimpses of that in, you know, even the Captain America movies when he's played by, what's his face?
I love him.
The younger guy.
Yeah.
The younger guy who plays him. But the point is that, you know, you get a very personal moment with Tony Stark and his dad, and you realize that they're not that different. And they're just trying to cope with the circumstances as they come.
And two, I feel like this scene really allowed Tony to kind of forgive his dad for his shortcomings, you know, and you know, Tony kind of realizes like his dad did the best, and like he meant the best, you know, he had the best of intentions, you know, because like Howard says something to the effect of like the kid isn't even here yet and there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And, you know, it's just a nice, like, emotional wrap up, you know.
Well, that was, there was two key lines. One being, I don't think that I have the courage to ever do anything completely selfless, which then Tony does at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. And then Tony thinks, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my daughter, which includes killing myself.
We'll get there. Spoiler alert. And then Cap finds himself in Peggy Carter's office. Which is interesting.
Which then he goes to the bathroom for 25 minutes.
Yeah. This is the...
I need to go avenge myself.
So this is the... I think this is the biggest injustice. I think, Brian, you'll agree with me since you watched the show too.
Yeah.
I'm going to start rewatching it this week. It's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start rewatching it this week. But number one, Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, is fantastic. She is gorgeous. She's an amazing actress. And the fact that Agent Carter was canceled is fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That
absolutely.
Show was so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. Way better
season
than
Season 2, not as season 2, not as good as season 1.
True. But, you know, that's fair. But anyway, Haley Atwell's amazing in this. And we did not get enough Peggy for my taste.
No.
I love the character, but Cap finds himself in her office, kind of watches her from afar when he's like hiding from a few things.
And then he goes to the bathroom for 25
minutes. And so we get like a glimmer, you know, we get a glimmer of something like, oh, like she's here and she's the director now. And you can see, because it's 1970, like there's some gray in her hair, you know, she's a little older. So just keep that in mind, dear listeners, because it'll happen for him later.
Well, at the beginning of the movie, too, he looks like a little watch that has her photo in it. So, you know, they're.
He's always looking. He's always looking at that.
Yeah, they're building it up. Something's coming.
Sure.
But yeah, 2012, Thanos finds out that
they're doing through Nebula, because Nebula in the past and Nebula of the present are hooked up to the same Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Space Wi-Fi.
I mean, that's ultimately what it is.
Space Wi-Fi.
Same things cannot exist on the same Wi-Fi.
A very simplified version, but
the evil version of her is the one that actually goes back. And,
yeah.
And then she understands immediately how to use the time machine to get Thanos into our time.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has the same memories, so yeah.
And then Scott Lang dies. I don't care what anybody says.
You know what? I...
Oh, because
explosion went off from his face.
Oh, right. No, okay. Scott Lang does not die.
Oh my god, I thought that too.
He doesn't actually die. It's just okay. So
no, you're jumping ahead.
So by pulling them through into the, you know, the timeline of now, Thanos starts attacking the Avengers.
You're forgetting one thing.
They did the snap.
Like, they did this.
Oh shit!
Yeah. They did the unsnapping.
They did the snap.
So they come back from time. They're all a little upset because Natalie's dead, or Natasha's dead. See, I call her Natalie too.
I know. I didn't mean to.
And
I know her damn name.
They decide, you know,
Nikki's dead.
After a minute of mourning, they decide, okay, well, we got to go do this unsnapping, or else it's all for naught. And we also missed the whole Doctor Strange stuff, but I'm not going to get into that because this movie's already too jam-packed to begin with. So,
and I do like Doctor Strange.
You did.
If you're listening to this, you didn't see it. What the fuck's wrong with you?
So they build this Iron Man Infinity War gauntlet, okay?
Which is bullshit.
Because here's the reason why it's bullshit. Because Thor's little elf person, not really an elf, big elf, okay?
Giant Peter Dinklage
right. Needed special metal to make.
Yes.
John said
Infinity
this
Gauntlet.
Too. You guys are such nerds. Okay.
Bullshit.
So, like, you're gonna tell me that a human being's nanotechnology is stronger?
Well, Brian,
Hulk
looked at it for 2 minutes. So
that's
It's strong enough now.
Well, I mean, I have an opinion about this too.
What is your opinion?
I think what they're saying is, you know, like, in other worlds and other realms, they do have access to magic, but that's not here. And that what they're saying is that, like, science is kind of the, you know, science and technology is the modern day equivalent to magic. That's what I think they're saying.
I'm sorry.
Are you calling shenanigans?
I'm calling shenanigans because of one simple fact. That metal literally is forged in a giant fucking star. Okay? Yeah. Like, it's it's metal from gods. Okay?
I mean, Thor almost died. Thor almost died
making a weapon out of it. Okay? You're telling me you couldn't just we couldn't get Peter Dinklage back for like a day? We couldn't get him back for a day.
I mean, this was like a best of album, right? So I mean, like, why not?
You're telling me we couldn't have done that. We couldn't have
that Dinklage money's too expensive. We can't spend that Dinklage money.
He was doing Game of Thrones. Dinklage he couldn't grab him. So yeah,
Dink's too costly. Prohibitive. Wow.
So I called shenanigans on that because I'm just saying, like, listen, they're no matter who wears that fucking thing, it's gonna kill them. Okay, because it's not made for it. Okay, so anyway, yeah, you know, they make the Stark Gauntlet. And, you know, Hulk's like, it's like I was made for this. It's like, nah.
It's mostly gamma radiation.
Yeah.
He's the only one strong enough.
So he puts it on. He does the unsnapping. And
which you can't snap in a glove, by the way.
No, you can't.
Oh, my God.
There's no friction.
Are you guys going to, like, nitpick everything?
It's skin.
Yeah, there's no friction.
Wearing a glove.
I know how to snap. My goodness.
So the point is he does his unsnapping, and everyone comes back. And at the minute that everyone comes back, Thanos has come through the you know, quantum realm.
Yeah, and old Scott Lang's like, hey, I see birds.
And I see birds, and then boom.
That means everything's okay. And then an explosion comes up in his face. When I saw the movie, I was like, oh, Scott's dead.
I thought it too.
That I didn't understand because I don't know how Scott thought it worked. We knew it worked because Hawkeye's wife called him.
The birds.
Well, yeah, because it's all life. So it's not just human beings.
There was more birds?
He was like, oh,
plants, animals,
but
all that
but
stuff.
But there weren't birds before?
There's a spaceship up there.
No, not really. That's half of all life on the Earth. And from what I understand from what Rocket says, because it originated on Earth, it hit Earth the hardest. Yeah.
Don't take it too seriously, like too literally with the birds, rather. Like, it's just he sees life.
Yes. That's the whole point.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been taking it too seriously. Thanos, I wouldn't want to nitpick on anything stupid, John.
Thanos rains down.
Thanos
rains down hellfire all over the entire Avengers compound.
Yeah, man. He like fucks.
Like
their
he's
butts.
Just like fuck you guys. You're all dead. Like,
yeah. I'm just gonna fuck up this place all over.
And this is where we enter our third movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is the battle. That
this
we were
is
waiting
the battle
on.
We were waiting for. Now, I'll be the first to say that I did not particularly care for this version of Thanos that we got.
Yeah, I mean,
very mustache twirly.
It's not even the Thanos that was from.
I get that.
It's bullshit.
Well, I get that, and I guess people will make the argument that, well, this is a Thanos from 2014. Yeah. So he's not nearly as mature, I guess, if you will, as the Thanos that we got in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And I can understand that.
It's a different character, you know.
It's a different character. You know, I know that for the Russo brothers, they said that Infinity War Thanos is more or less like a holy warrior at that point. Like, he's become someone who this is his charge.
Interesting.
Whereas this Thanos is more or less like an intergalactic villain at that point.
Right.
You know, and I get that point, but I just felt that, you know, with Infinity War, that being basically Thanos' movie, we got to see a lot of him. And to basically go back to a mustache twirling version of him, it was kind of like,
it's kind of a shame. I agree.
It's not the same fucking guy. I mean, that's why I think they killed him at the beginning.
I know that.
So that everybody could say, oh, at least they killed that version of Thanos.
I know that. I know that. I know it's not the same fucking guy, but I'm just saying I felt that he was a little mustache twirly.
Yeah.
I agree, Brian.
And, you know, at this point,
yeah. Wouldn't it be great if he had hair, though? Like, had, like, a skullet? Because he's younger.
Skullet.
That would have been very upsetting.
So, yeah, this leads into, a series of battles in which, you know, first it's basically Thanos beating the shit out of all the Avengers that are there.
Well, yeah, it was Cap, Iron Man, and
Iron Man, Fat Thor.
Hawkeye has the glove.
They're all like trying to get the glove Scott Lang because they need to get it back in time to replace the stones. Because the whole idea is that if they don't do that, they will fuck up time completely. Right? Yeah. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
You know?
They have to return the stones to the place that they came.
Also, so Thanos doesn't get it and just kills everybody. Yes. Because this time around, he's like, to up the stakes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, instead of killing half the people, I'm just going to kill everyone.
He's like, I'm going to kill everybody, and I'm going to repopulate them with my own people.
Oh, guys, we didn't talk about
Thanos seed everywhere. Pew, pew.
We didn't talk about one of my favorite moments in the movie. So Rocket and Thor go back to Asgard to get the life stone. Is that it?
No, they go back to get the reality stone.
Reality stone, whatever.
The ether.
I didn't watch any of the Thor movies like a total jag. I was a little lost.
I've seen every one of these fucking movies.
But anyway, 22 of these anyway, I'll be really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, they go and you know, Thor of our Thor, like you know,
can't seal the deal with Jane Foster.
So Rocket violates her.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing. They're trying to steal it from Jane, but you know, the Thor of this timeline, you know, depressed Thor, he actually has a nice moment with his mom. He gets to talk to her about stuff, about who he is and who he's supposed to be and all that. But my favorite part is they're just about to travel back to our time and he's like, "No, wait." And he sticks his hand out and just waits. And it's like an amazing pose for one because it's very funny. Yeah. But it was amazing because he called for his hammer and when it came into his hand, he said, "I'm still worthy." And I thought that was so sweet. I just thought that was like a really nice moment.
He called for his hammer. That's not like underlyingly sexual in any way, is it?
I got my hammer back.
By the way, he took the hammer from himself from that universe. So when the elves come in Dark World, like,
Hey, now
with the talking,
they brought it back.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's an important part of the battle because when they're battling Thanos, you know, Thor has his hammer as well. And guess who gets to wield the hammer?
Captain America.
I would totally watch the Chris's
Roderick Crawford. Oh, no, Captain
handling
America,
each other's Brian hammers, Jack. By the way. just you know, make it happen, y'all.
By the way, hey, Natalie Portman, that you get $1 million for one line of ADR.
They literally shot that? Like they shot now?
I looked into it. It was all leftover footage. But the only thing did do is she did ADR, like when they're that shot from far away where she goes like, "Well, I need to take a shit, please leave," or whatever she says. Like,
she doesn't say I need to take a shit.
But that's ADR'd.
Yeah. Like, okay.
And that's all she did for the movie.
That's cool. I thought that would have been leftover footage. There's no way they would have called her in.
Where was
Kat
Dennings?
We need Where's Kat Dennings? Dennings?
She could have worn an Iron Man suit.
John thinks she's pretty.
Well, I just it's because of her boobs.
She's got tickled bitties.
Let's be honest here, John. That's what it is.
How many times we talked about boobs of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Let's move on.
We talked about Infinity cock rings.
I know. I don't know how I missed this.
So anyway, one thing I do like about that whole Thor thing is when Thor's describing the events of Thor the Dark World, he's like, "Yes, well, my girlfriend Jane, she was filled with red goo."
Yeah, dude, that was amazing.
And then there were these things called the Dark Elves, and they're coming to take her goo. Well,
and it's amazing because every Avenger is
and
so
I miss
frustrated.
Jane so much.
They're all so frustrated with him except for Scott, and Scott's like, "This is a really good story." Yeah. You know, like, he's like, oh my God, so funny.
The ether, it's not really a stone, it's a red goo.
It's like an ether.
I'm going to need a raccoon to violate my girlfriend to get it out.
Right? So anyway.
Rocket get that out of?
John, can you stop talking about holes? So anyway, at the end.
Where did he put that port, man?
God damn it.
You are horrible. Horrible.
And that was a really good pun. Okay, so we're at the end of the movie.
Yes.
We've been a little scattered. Sorry, dear listeners. But
so was
we're
this
at
movie.
The end of the movie. And like I said, I just wanted to bring up that, you know, they had the hammer because then Captain America was able to wield the hammer and it was absolutely
He's
amazing.
He's beating the shit out of Thanos.
Dude, it was amazing. They're like starting to totally kick his ass. And then, but like, you know, Thanos starts to engage his ships like above them and he doesn't even care about his own people. He's like just fire rain.
Well,
like,
he does that after a very important part. And that is when, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Ashley
Olsen fuck him up.
Yeah. Basically, but you know, Captain America, the tide starts to turn because he gets the shit kicked out of him. His shield is cracked.
This is awesome.
Iron Man is nowhere to be seen. Thor's been defeated, you know, and at this point, it looks like Thanos is going to win. It looks like it's going to be a
just
repeat.
Cap
because just Cap versus Thanos and his entire army. And even Thanos is like, you know what? I don't usually enjoy this sort of thing, but I'm going to enjoy destroying
your world.
Yeah,
the cinematography at this point is just beautiful.
And at this point, you're just like, there's nothing you can do to beat him. Like, there's nothing. And then you get on his ear one of the best callbacks.
Yeah.
It's on your left. And it is a complete callback to Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
With Falcon saying, yep. You know, because Captain America would say on your left when he's circling
yep.
Washington, D.C. And at that point, that's when you see all the sling rings open up.
Yep.
You see every one of the dusted characters from the Marvel.
Such a nerd, but like, literally, I had goosebumps. I was so happy.
Every single hero or ancillary character that's ever been in a Marvel movie shows up.
Except and Kat Dennings.
What was that?
God damn it, John. What is wrong with
you? Is that what you were looking for?
Tagle biddies.
But it is like the best description I heard about it was I think it was Kevin Smith was describing this movie.
Of course he was.
And he said,
did he have a big old massive
heart absolutely
on?
Did. And I think he said something along the line of it's like having all of your toys out and having a battle with every one of your toys out. Like that's and honestly, I completely get it. You know, I grew up as a kid with a bunch of action figures. And you know what? When I remember having all the toys out and like, oh, they're going to battle here. And that's literally what this is. It's on screen, all your toys battling the shit out of each other. And it's glorious. That's the only word I can use for it is glorious. It's a glorious scene. And Captain America actually says, Avengers Assemble. Like the build up to 22 movies, because Captain America has never said that. Yeah. It's the applause line. And
I didn't mind. It was great. I
was like,
goosebumps.
I don't give a shit. I had goosebumps the whole time.
Giant Scott Lang. And
Giant Scott Lang.
We got
Doctor Strange,
here.
Black Panther, all the Wakanda army. You know, Wong shows up with all the wizards that Mordo hasn't killed yet.
Clearly,
you know,
Marvel knows where its bread is buttered. Because
oh, my God.
The first person we see coming out of the portal is Black Panther.
Yes.
Like, well, that made the most money. So
yes. Yes. And what happens next is ultimately one of the best battles I've ever seen.
It was really good.
Like, surprisingly, for a CGI fest, it wasn't hard to watch. It wasn't hard to follow.
It was real. It was real good. You
know, because a lot of people, they like. I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm assuming that Game of Thrones' battle scenes are probably a lot better because that's what a lot of people have said.
Interesting.
So they really take
interesting.
A lot of time
yeah, we don't watch
but,
either
internet
yet.
Pisses themselves.
You know? Yeah, but the point is that like I've seen, you know, the Lord of the Rings movies, and a lot of people really point to those movies as great battle scenes. This was a fantastic battle scene. Like that whole section there.
Yeah.
Gave me goosebumps the whole time because every hero had their moment, you know, every single hero that was important.
It
had
was
their
really
moment,
cool.
You know? So, and it didn't feel like it was jam packed. It felt perfectly paced.
They spent a lot of time thinking
and
about
even
this,
the point,
you can tell.
Well, I think that last scene was an hour, wasn't it?
Oh,
I mean,
it was a long time. Yeah.
Battle.
But
it didn't feel like it.
It felt like 15 minutes to me. So, ultimately, you know, the tide of the battle starts to turn. The Avengers start to win. Scarlet Witch really is pissed off at Thanos. And you get the feeling that Scarlet Witch probably could defeat Thanos all by herself.
Yeah.
Well,
she was so
furious. Because she basically
furious.
Is, like, killing him. You know,
she's like taking his arm off.
He
like she's
the hellfire.
And he calls for the hellfire, which disrupts the whole battle.
Which I thought was bullshit because like he killed most of his own army, but didn't kill any of our characters.
No.
I'm not complaining.
I'm not complaining.
It's not logical.
Well, it wasn't really meant to kill all of our characters. It meant to break up their momentum.
Wouldn't it be great if it killed one of the Ewok that died in Return of the Jedi?
Dude, that always makes me sad. And John laughs every time we watch that movie. He's
it
a sadistic bastard.
It used to make me
bastard.
Sad. Now I laugh at it every single time.
Guys are sadistic and mean.
So, you know, ultimately, what ends up, you know, kind of solidifying the battle is Captain Marvel shows up.
Ah, hey, remember her?
Remember her? And she fucks up Thanos' ship.
It's awesome. She just like
literally
rips
through
it through and just
it, like tissue paper.
Destroys it. It's incredible.
And
then she gives fuck eyes to Spider-Man, who's underage, young lady. Don't look at him like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, Spider-Man, you got something for me?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my spider sense is tingling.
He's like, I've never been around girls before. Yeah. but yeah, the battle really starts to turn at that point. And this is then when we get kind of the climax, which is Iron Man versus Thanos. And they start to go at it. They start to each try to reach for that, you know, Stark gauntlet. Because Dr.
Strange gives the finger.
Because he does.
He gives the finger.
Because Iron Man tells him, he's like, yeah. He's like, is this, million. Well, he's like, is this what you meant? And he's like, I can't tell you how this will end or else you won't happen. Which at that point, I'm like, yeah, he's going to fucking die.
Yeah.
Because if you tell someone you have to die for this to win, they're not going to do it.
I don't know. I think Tony would have.
Well, it's like on The Walking Dead when a character that gets no screen time gets an entire episode dedicated to them. I'm like, oh, they're dying.
Yeah.
It's like, why else have Tony Stark, like, talk to his dad and basically almost cry and hug him like, oh, you dead.
Yeah, I mean, the signs were there. And I think it was interesting because, like, they had made it seem like he was going to die on the ship when that trailer first hit.
Yes.
And I remember the three of us discussing it and we were like, oh, no, he's going to die. He's just not going to die on the ship. No, like, we all knew.
Listen, it's been $100 million just to get an excuse for him to get back to Earth.
That's right.
It's fine.
So ultimately, you know, Doctor Strange, you know, because Thanos gets the gauntlet. And he's ready to do his whole snapping thing again.
His duty.
His duty. And at that point, that's when Doctor Strange does the one finger and says there's only one way to make this, you know, not happen.
Right.
And that's when Iron Man realizes what he has to do. So I don't know how he got the stones on his glove.
Editing.
Yeah, okay, because that was the other thing. I was like, how the hell did the stones travel to his hand?
I get. And the thing is, why is the glove that he has on his Iron Man outfit have the holes for the Infinity Stones?
Well, I guess
it's nanotech.
The stones were like built into Stark technology on the gauntlet that they made. So I guess the thought is that all Stark technology is now synced to the stones,
so they just
that's
moved
how
over
he
to
was
him?
Able to move them.
I mean, I guess
I don't love it, guys. I'm not gonna lie, it's fine.
You know that part, I would have liked to have seen at least one shot where like something takes the stones or something like that. Or maybe you like, he doesn't grab the glove or something. I don't know. I just felt that part was kind of like, eh.
Well, they wanted to like surprise us.
I know it was a surprise. Big reveal. And I'm sure they were like, how the hell do we show that?
Yeah.
So yeah, Tony's normal glove has the stones now on him. And you could tell that it's killing him. Because the radiation, you know.
They're insane. They're so powerful.
You and, know? You know, as I said, you know, this is human technology. This is not Asgardian's, you know, metal or anything like that. So it's not going to take the power of the stones. You know, we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy how just one of those stones being held by a human being, it could kill them.
Oh, yeah. Know? And that's how we figured out that Star-Lord wasn't human.
Yes. So ultimately, having all six is going to kill you. So, you know, Iron Man has it and he utters probably the best last line of a character by saying, I am Iron Man.
Skippity-doo, motherfucker!
No, he says, I am Iron Man.
That's not what he says.
He says, I am Iron Man, which is a complete callback to the first movie. And as I said, solidifies who he is. He is Iron Man. He does have the will to do what's necessary. And at that point, he snaps him and ultimately dusts Thanos and his entire army.
How does that work, by the way? Do you just think of something when you snap your fingers?
Yes.
Yeah,
so if he wanted a bologna sandwich and snapped his fingers, would he have gotten one? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Thankfully, he didn't think of the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
I mean, what if you accidentally thought of like the wrong thing when you were like snapping? Mid-snap? Yeah, like when you went to snap and you were like, man, like I hope like Thanos can never take a satisfying shit. You know, like you just think of something random and mean, you know?
I am inevitably continent.
Seriously.
Either that or he's always in that moment where he has to take a shit, but the poop won't come out.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
He's constantly constipated, but it's like mid-turtle head.
Mm-hmm. Or he snaps his finger and Thanos gets like a normal non-wrinkly chin.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that ultimately is why Thanos is so pissed off, because he's got a ball sack for a chin.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe.
So, he's so, like steroid grimace.
Getting back to he has steroid grimace. Getting back to the movie here, Tony Stark is exhausted.
What are we doing?
Tony Stark's near death, and ultimately Pepper Potts says you can rest now, because, and that's again going back to Tony Stark's
she
character.
Takes this very well.
Well, she takes it well because very she's well. Well, she's lived with Tony
she's
Stark
prepared
for years.
Herself for this for yeah. you know
she
a long
knows
time,
what this
know?
Is going to lead to.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Man 3, for all its fault, dealt with Tony Stark dealing with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And ultimately, his solution to that was to constantly always be working, always building more and more armors to protect himself. And that wasn't enough. So this point is where he can finally stop and rest and die. So I thought it was a great scene for the end of that character. You know, after that, we kind of get a cleanup shop of, you know, a funeral for Tony Stark. We see
no funeral for Natasha.
No funeral for Natasha.
Hashtag still bitter.
Sorry.
She didn't have any family, remember? Because she can't have kids. She's a
monster. She had the Avengers.
She couldn't have children, so she's not like a real person.
Hashtag bullshit. This is bullshit. Ooh.
That's what Joss Whedon taught me.
I know.
That if a woman can't have kids, she's not a human being. She's a monster.
Yeah, and wow. They have not handled her character very well.
No, they have not.
It's gross.
So we get a very, I think an awesome funeral, a series of scenes. We literally get all of the characters from the Marvel,
including the
films.
Kid from Iron Man 3.
Even the kid from Iron Man 3, which makes
who
me believe
wear a suit, the little prick.
Well, it makes me believe that if they are going to continue Iron Man, which I think they will,
yeah, just with a different,
they'll have him be it. They'll have him kind of be the main character.
You don't think? Well, I guess Gwyneth Paltrow's out, so she can't.
Yeah, no, I think that they brought him back in because of the fact that they wanted to leave an in. So that they could pass the mantle of Iron Man onto him. So, you know, you get all the characters from the MCU films there for Iron Man's funeral. You know, you get a great callback scene between Happy Hogan and Iron Man's daughter, Morgan, in which she says, you know, she wants cheeseburgers. And, you know, Jon Favreau was like, your dad loved cheeseburgers, because that's, again, a callback.
From Iron Man 1.
From Iron Man 1.
Yeah. It was that was a sweet
so
moment.
So it was a sweet moment.
That little girl had no idea what was happening.
No, she didn't. No. But it didn't matter.
Like, she was not even sad in the least bit.
Well, like,
she's five.
I don't think a little 5-year-old would be sad necessarily either. I mean, like,
I just don't think they explained to her what was happening in the scene.
Your daddy's dead.
I wouldn't even be surprised if
he's dead 3,000.
Well, truly, I don't know. I don't know how that works, you know, with children actors and whatnot, but like, that's confusing for them, and like, they may not have totally explained it to her because she can't separate, like, you know, reality. Like, if they say your daddy died, like, she might think that her real dad died. You know, I don't know how that works. I've never worked with children actors. So.
I didn't have a problem with it. I was fine with it.
It was
The emotional weight wasn't weighted on her.
No,
emotionally it was on everybody else.
A real child who just lost her father at that age, like, might not have been that sad either, right? Because they have a hard time understanding what's going on.
I really thought Happy was gonna be like, "I'm gonna go bone your mom."
No, because apparently he goes and bones Peter Parker's aunt.
Yeah, from the trailer. Yeah,
right.
From the trailer, like, woof. That's what's inferred.
Well,
in
we
the
saw
trailer.
This movie because the three of us saw it together. When they were doing the scene where they showed everybody at the funeral, I turned to Lane and said, "I'll console Aunt May."
yeah, you did.
Titty May.
Yeah. Aunt Titty.
Aunt Titty.
Aunt Titty May.
Anyway, so we have the funeral.
And then we cut to Captain America.
He's
going back in time.
Well, don't forget, Thor had a moment where he passes the guard.
Oh, yeah. Valkyrie's already
Yes, he does.
New Asgard. So he's like, why don't you just do that? Because you're great at it.
He's going to go.
And he follows the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which I think is awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think that's amazing. I can't wait to see Guardians 3 now.
Yeah.
Because of that. Seriously.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I heard his contract is up, so I don't know how
He said that he's not against playing Thor again.
Okay.
He's not against it.
I mean, he almost has to.
Well, he's not as in stone like, Captain America is and Robert Downey Jr. is, Chris Evans. You know, he's not as in stone as I want to be done. I think he's having fun. And he actually said that Thor Ragnarok revived his interest in this character.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he got to do more than just the typical bullshit
from
Thor and Thor the Dark World. So I have a feeling he's going to be around for a little bit, maybe another movie or two, since he does have an interest in it.
You know what's funny? He was a total unknown when he was cast as Thor.
Oh, yeah. He was in Star Trek.
Like, yeah.
He was Kirk's dad.
That's all he was known for.
Just another typical Hollywood beefcake.
And you know what? The thing is, the reason why we don't have another Star Trek is because they were going to bring Kirk's dad back, and Helmsworth said, you're going to have to pay me a lot more money than you were going to.
Oh,
Yeah. So, I mean, at the point when they wanted to do Star Trek IV, that, you know, he had blown up with Thor, that wow. you would have had to pay him more money. So,
yeah, that's true.
The point is that, you know, Thor joins the Guardians of the Galaxy. We also don't know what's going on with Gamora at this point, because the Gamora that we're seeing is the past Gamora.
Yeah.
Right.
And Nebula stayed with the Guardians, but yes. she's gone. And that was like a little creepy that Quill was like looking for her, like searching the galaxy for her face.
He loves her.
He loves her.
He loves her. No, it's like Star Trek 3, the search for Spock. It's going to be Guardians of Galaxy 3, the search for Gamora.
I mean, but like, you can't make someone love you that doesn't.
Gamora does.
She
does. Well, like, I mean, the dead one did, and
now this past one doesn't love him.
Yeah.
But she will.
She will.
I guess.
It's inevitable.
It's a little
Chris
creepy.
Chris Pratt. She'll fall in love with him.
It's a little creepy.
So then we get this, the time travel scene with Captain America going back and returning the Infinity Stones as well as Thor's hammer.
I fucking hated this.
I know you did. Because of course you would. Of course you would. So at this point, you know, Hulk tells Cap, hey, you know, just return them back to where they were and, you know, the timeline will be restored.
Don't fuck with time, Cap, because you want to get some sex.
And they were like, well, how long is it going to take? And they're like, for us, it'll take like 5 minutes. For him, it could take, you know, forever.
Yeah,
you know?
However long it takes.
And, you know, I pretty much knew what was going to happen.
The second I saw Peggy Carter's office, I knew what was going to happen. All right,
you didn't kill him. This is the only way. You know, they've led this whole thing of he's a man out of time since Avengers, the first one.
Oh, yeah. And he's always been out of place,
you know. So I knew this was the only way that it was going to end for him. I did not think that he was going to die. Everyone's like, oh, Captain America's going to die. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck
I didn't
you.
Think so either.
They're not going to kill him.
Mm-mm.
So
well, see, I thought they, before I saw a second of this movie, I thought it might be him because I thought they weren't going to let Robert Downey out of his contract.
Well, I'm gonna get to why I don't think he's done, because I don't think he's done. I really don't. But so Cap, he goes back in time, and we don't see him again. He's just gone. He doesn't come back because he's supposed to be back in 5 seconds, and he doesn't show back.
He blows by his timeline,
and it's, you know, we see him again as an old man.
He's just sitting there.
He's just
doesn't
sitting
make
there.
Any sense because he's on a branch timeline.
Yes, that. Again, is one of the reasons why the time travel thing.
Well, I think he inserted himself in the actual timeline.
That's not possible.
And just hid.
Impossible.
In the regular timeline.
It's not
just
possible.
Hid with Peggy. I don't know.
The technology, the way they established time travel does not fit for that.
Mm.
What he would have had to have done, and I don't think his body could have taken it, would be to time travel back to the prime timeline at that point as an old man.
Yeah,
That's it. That's the only way. But I don't think his body could
exactly
handle that.
Right. Yeah.
That's my whole point.
All the rules, and the thing is, like, we're not nitpicking. These are the rules they set up, and then betrayed them.
And this is why I say the only fault I have is with their explanation of time travel. So you know, Cap as a very old man, which they did a great job, by the way, of aging him.
Yeah.
Like, doing any type of old age.
Yeah.
I don't think it was makeup. I think it was all digital.
I can't believe it was digital. It looked like makeup. I can't believe it was CGI.
But it was...
It's the same thing they did with Peggy Carter in, what, Civil War?
Yeah, they did
it. It looked amazing. Oh, my God. It was incredible.
Truly amazing. Like, honestly, old age anything is one of the hardest, you know, illusions to create. And it absolutely sold it for me. So, you know, he says that he decided to get some of that, you know,
of a life,
of
like
life.
Tony sweet was always Peggy talking
action.
About.
I mean, that's honestly what it was sweet Peggy action. But yes, he wanted some of the life that Tony had said that he had gotten with Pepper. So
got some Carter, put it in her farter.
God.
Ew.
Come on, man. It's a sweet scene. And you just kind of ruin it.
You dirty up everything. Okay. So, like, I just want to say this just so someone has said it.
Sure.
It's a beautiful moment, and, like, I can see why they did it from a writing perspective, but I'd also like to point out that they never even went on a first date, and he's been in love with her for decades.
Yes.
That's weird.
It's creepy. Okay. He knew her for, like, a week.
It's weird.
Listen. I'm going to say this. The man has never had sex before.
Yes.
It's true.
And now...
He has never... had sex before. He fell in love with one woman because that was probably the first woman to have sex with him.
Maybe, but I mean, they never had. They didn't have sex though. Yeah. Like, they never went on a date.
Not on screen.
But they didn't do anything in that movie.
Wait a
minute. I'm sure of it.
You're telling me, in that montage scene in Captain America, the First Avenger, that there was never a scene in which...
No, dude, I don't think so.
You don't think in behind the scenes or anything like that? Like,
I don't think... No.
I don't think he buttered on his shield, you know what I mean? Like, it shoots right off.
Buttered on his shield. You are the most repugnant human being, and I
married you.
That's
America's shield.
When he ejaculates, he goes, "Hail Hydra."
That's America's butter. Oh my God.
That's America's jizz.
Sometimes I wonder why I married you, Willis Croft.
I know.
So yeah, I
sorry,
you derailed the whole fucking show.
Always.
By the way, your dog is trying to eat our cables here.
Oh, yeah. No.
So I felt that, you know, that it was his first love, and honestly, like, that's it of course he's gonna want to go back to her. So yeah, you could say that he didn't have, you know, any sort of point of reference for a relationship, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was at least like mutual, but it just seemed a little bit thin of a connection to want to, like, you know, rearrange your entire life around.
Well, now he's
know.
Lusted over his niece.
I know, that's gross.
Yeah, that is kind of gross. Yeah.
Made it weird.
That did make it weird. I don't think he told Peggy that.
No, I don't think so either.
Didn't really tell Peggy that.
Captain America let 9/11 happen.
But you can't interfere with timeline. Yeah. You can't interfere with stuff.
Yeah.
In that timeline.
I bet he, like, called off work that morning and be like, what's your reason for not coming in? Don't worry about it. I just know that, like, nobody's getting work
done
today.
Wouldn't he have been, like, 70 anyway? What the fuck could he have done?
Nothing.
I don't know. He could have,
he's a super soldier. He could have done something.
Mm.
Called a bomb threat into the airport.
I mean,
so
we can play this game all day long. We can play this game literally all day.
So, ultimately...
He passes the shield
over to Falcon.
Which I thought was interesting. I really thought that would have been Bucky.
No, but that has happened in the comics.
Both
Bucky and Falcon have taken on the mantle of Captain America. So it wasn't completely out of the realm of possibility.
Okay, that's cool.
The only thing I have to say, though, is Falcon's a normal human.
Yeah, he's not
a super soldier.
Mm-mm. He's not a super soldier. So
Bucky does seem like the better choice just from like a safety standpoint.
Well, Bucky undergoed, you know, some of the same super soldier stuff done, you know, with the Nazis.
Exactly.
You know, so if anyone's going to be Captain America, it's going to be him. You know, I don't have
physically, yes.
Right. You know, I don't have a problem with Falcon doing it, and Falcon has done it in the comics. But it just seemed like he's a human.
Yeah, and he has armor to protect himself.
Yeah.
That he's now going to take off.
to be
Captain America.
It was weird.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, it's all right.
So, you know, at that point, you know, we get the last shot of the movie, which is flash backwarding to you know, Captain America getting his dance.
Peggy. And I think it's the 50s because she's young again.
You think
no
it's
gray.
The 50s? You don't think it's 40s?
Based on the it might have been. I think it's
late 40s.
Based on the car, I think it's the 50s.
I think it's late 40s, like 49, like right after World War II.
Fair enough.
And honestly, I felt that was the best ending you can get for Captain America. Even though it completely fucks up with the whole time travel paradigm we're given.
Against everything his character has gone through
for
10 years.
Oh, don't even start with John on this.
Really?
John's going to fight you on everything.
Your situation, and that no matter how many hurdles are put in your way, that you find
a way
to move on and to not just recycle time to make it fit what you want selfishly.
I completely disagree, because I think that Captain America has two sides to him. He has Steve from Brooklyn, you know, okay, and then he's got Captain America. So the Captain America that you're seeing, is very much I'm a soldier. But then there's Steve from Brooklyn, who...
Had a giant head
and a little body. But the point is that I think his character has had an absence of separating himself from the need to be a soldier and the need to be Steve from Brooklyn.
If anybody's hearing, my dog is moaning in the back.
Yes.
Yeah, he's moaning. He's upset.
If you're hearing that,
one of the things that he also mentions in the movie, though, is like he's trying to figure out how to move on.
Yeah.
And that seems to he can't move on.
I don't think he can.
He's teaching everybody else how to move on, and he's like, fuck it, not for me.
But the thing is, I don't think he can. I don't think he ever could. Yeah. Because even in Age of Ultron, you know, the one thing that you know, Scarlet Witch shows him in his like delusion is that he, as a soldier, can never move on. That's why he's not worthy enough to lift Thor's hammer, because he is always fighting. He is always in a fight mode, and he cannot resolve himself with his own issues.
And then he literally fights himself in his time heist and realizes like how tiring it is to fight himself.
So I thought that it was the perfect end to him. I think if he just died, if Thanos just like fucking murked him, that it would feel
that would
empty.
Have been disservice.
And that would have been disservice. Definitely. So the man's been talking about how he's never gotten that dance with Peggy, and how Peggy was his girl, and that's been a consistent thing. Mm-hmm. So there really was no other ending for him other than going back in time. If time travel is present, of course he's going to go and take that. You know, because
he's only human.
That's the first time that Steve Rogers has ever done anything for himself.
Yeah,
everything has always been in the service of either the country or for good or for the Avengers, for stopping Hydra or for stopping Thanos. It's never been about him.
Yeah,
it's always been about the mission. And that's the point where where Captain America ceases to be Captain America, and he's now Steve from Brooklyn again.
Yeah,
so I was fine with it. That didn't really bother me that much.
I'm still Steve from Brooklyn. Yeah. I had a little now, got a lot.
So, and that ultimately is the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
I thought it was successful, guys. I did.
I did. I thought it was a very successful film. It's not perfect. I'm not going to tell you it's a perfect movie. There are faults.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not perfect. Yeah,
but I mean, this kind of movie, it's a gigantic
undertaking
action movie with 35 characters and time travel. Like, of course it's not going to be perfect, you know?
Well, there have been people out there saying it's a perfect film, and I disagree.
No, it's not a perfect film. Give me a break.
I mean, for me personally, 9 out of 10. Like, I really love this movie.
It's my
favorite of all the Marvel movies. I had a great time, but no, it is not a perfect movie.
By no way is
let's be honest here. You're going to tell me that Godfather and Citizen Kane are inferior to
this? They look
this.
Like a big pile of shit.
Like, yeah, that's not a
seriously?
Thing. Bergman.
We're going down that path here.
Fellini. Russo brothers.
I would say it's probably a perfect blockbuster film.
It's a great blockbuster.
I would say it's a perfect blockbuster film compared to other stuff that has come out. I would say it's damn near perfect to a perfect Marvel film.
Agreed.
People were saying this shit when The Dark Knight came out.
Yes.
And then we all kind of came down and said, no, it was just really, really, really good.
Right.
You know, the people will.
We settled our shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say it's a perfect superhero film.
They did a great job with it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you really make that argument?
Yeah. Because I think we've said before that Dark Knight isn't really
a superhero movie.
And same with Logan. Logan isn't a superhero movie. This is a perfect superhero film. I will say that, but I'm not going to say that it's a perfect film. It's not. There are some things in it that I think, you know, were skipped and kind of skimped on because they realized we have 3 hours, folks, and we have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
So, you know, while it's not perfect, it's damn near good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all I got. I'm curious to see where they go from here. Now, I mentioned before
Phase 3 doesn't end until Spider-Man movie, which is strange that they...
Far From Home.
They didn't finish with this movie.
they always need a palate cleanser.
Yeah. You know? Phase 3 ends with the next Spider-Man, and then we go to Phase 4.
Phase 4, which, that's going to be fun. Mainly because, like, literally they have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Maybe. And this is why I say...
I think they're going to lose some audiences. I think everybody saw this as the end of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's far from over, but I think people will see it that way.
Well, remember how I said coming out of the theater that I will not throw it past Marvel after at least a couple movies come out, and they realize, oh, God, we're not getting nearly as much traction. If you start to see Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. show back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I would not throw it past them to, you know, ride up to Robert Downey Jr.'s house with a Mack truck full of money and saying, please come back. We know you're dead, but we figured out a way that we could bring you back.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest here, folks, this is a comic book movie. And if there's one thing that we know from comic book movies is that no one really is dead.
of Uncle Ben and Thomas and Martha Wayne.
That's right. I mean, those people are dead as doornails. But
they're the only ones that actually die.
But superheroes, for the most part, don't die. In comic books, especially in Marvel, they have a way of bringing people back no matter what. So, like, Captain America's died a bunch of times. Iron Man's died a bunch of times.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if they said, yeah, that Iron Man who died wasn't the real Iron Man. That was a life model decoy, or was a Skrull, or some other shit.
Yeah, it's a Skrull.
It's some other shit. Some other cop-out shit, because Marvel made a mistake with killing Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised that, especially because of the fact, I say Robert Downey Jr. more or less than Chris Evans, because, you know, Marvel has always been the vehicle for Robert Downey Jr. Like, he built the whole franchise.
It's what keeps him off the sauce.
It's what, right, you know? But the point is
he's going to have a big Coke party now.
John, that's horrible. No, he's that's in recovery.
Horrible. That's horrible. But I really believe that they'll bring him back in cameo fashion. You know, they'll bring him back as
an AI. Well, even dream sequences or flashbacks.
Dream sequences or as
an
AI.
Or he's, like, recorded a million of those, like, holla videos, you know?
Holla.
Yeah, so I don't think he's dead.
Okay. Yeah. All right, guys, so this episode's been quite lengthy.
Yes, it has.
Anything else we should mention?
One last thing, because I think this is very interesting. When Tony Stark's daughter Morgan says, "I love you, 3,000, there's a little bit of interesting...
Have you heard about this, Brian?
No.
It's gonna wreck you.
That, you know, I love you, Infinity, or I love you, a million, or something like that would make a little more sense. I love you, 3,000. The reason she said that was because if you add up the runtime of all these movies, including the next Spider-Man movie, it's 3,000 minutes.
Oh, Jesus
And it's
Christ.
From the directors
yeah.
saying, like, we love you, 3,000, like, for sticking through all
Jesus
this with
Christ.
Us. Yeah. That's adorable. I love it.
That's insane.
I'm so happy. That's it makes insane. Me happy.
Well, it's been a fun ride, guys.
I know. This is, like, a big chapter that is, like, mostly
I'm
closed.
Curious yeah,
I hope
to see
you
what
guys
happens
liked
next.
Endgame as much as we did.
Yeah.
These episodes are harder because we all in agreement.
I feel like we talked about a lot, though. Like, you know, we got through it.
But we've got some episodes coming up that are going to be a lot of fun. We've got next week, we've got Mommy Dearest.
Oh.
For Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
And, I mean, honestly, I almost wanted to go with Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, that'd have been a good one.
That would have been a good one, too. But Mother's Day, well, Mommy Dearest is a more well-known.
That's my alt-rock band, Flowers in the Attic.
Yeah. And then after that, we're going to be reviewing Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean.
That's,
like,
a pantheon.
Let's keep the comic book thing going.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
The greatest comic book movie of all time, Catwoman.
Yeah. No,
it's not.
Well, it's the greatest comic book movie starring Halle Berry. We'll just say
oh my god.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, I think it's time to sign off, guys.
It is. So, John, where can they find you at on the Twitter machine?
The Unreal J Wolves, I think, is where I can be found.
Yes, that is where you can be found. And I can be found at LA_Croft.
Thanks for getting my Twitter handle last week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at Brian Carrington. I also run the Psycho Shows page. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Psycho Show. You can also find us on the Epicast Network, epicastnetwork.com. If you have any favorite movie or question that you would like to throw our way, or you want to talk to us about how we ruined your childhood by spoiling Avengers Endgame, you can contact us at cinemapsychoshow.com. Make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, and we will see you next time.
I love you guys, 3,000.
Aww.